Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Party introducing my friend and board-certified psychiatrist, the host of the Brain Love Podcast, Dr. Delvina.
Hey, 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 guys. It's another Sunday night, and you know it's time for another episode of the Brain Love Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Delvina Thomas, as you just heard Rick Party introduce me. Last week, you heard the interview with Dr. Linda Green, obstetrics and gynecologist. Tonight, we're doing the Q&A from that session. The ladies in the audience had a lot of great questions, and so the answers were super informative, and I wanted to share that with you. We had about an hour of questions and answers, and I think that you should listen if you want to divide it up and listen in pieces. Highly recommend. You'll hear someone ask a question about spontaneous orgasms. She mentioned she can just be sitting in her car and spontaneously climax. So, hey. Also, there's questions about, does soy help us with delaying the onset of menopause? It's just so much good stuff, guys. So I want you to also enjoy this part of the interview with Dr. Linda Green, because it'll answer a lot of the questions you may have about menopause. If you're not in menopause yet, like some of us listening, you will eventually get to menopause. If you live long enough, if God blesses you to live long enough, you will enter menopause. So stay tuned and listen to this Q&A session with Dr. Linda Green and me. Brain love. We're getting mics because I want everyone to hear the question. So
you guys look so nice. Don't look at they? Our community. Yes. We have a beautiful community.
Yes. Yummy, yummy. And as we're getting the mics, the next event is Monday, April 22nd. Here, it's a Monday. Dr. Barbara Monfort will be here on
Yay!
Stage. And we're talking prostate cancer, but also, yeah, so let's start. Can we, Chaz, you're getting another one set up too?
Yeah. So you guys bring guys, because you know men don't want to sit in the crowd. They don't want to learn.
Yeah.
You know, they bring don't want to hear. They don't want to be in a room with other people with prostate cancer, because, you know, so bring guys that are open. Come with them. Bring them. They need you, because we have to guide them everywhere.
Yes.
You know,
bring them. Bring them. Yeah. So many men don't want to talk about their penises and
black men,
and their prostate.
I'm going to tell you guys a quick story. Our good friend, Susie and I, that we went to college with, our very good friend, our best friend, died at 42 of lung cancer. So Marvin was alone raising three kids. Lo and behold, 3 years later, 4 years later, Lynn, I got prostate cancer. Three little kids. Okay. Luckily, he got it diagnosed because he went to a doctor who paid attention. He did a PSA level, and then a year later, he did another PSA level. It still was normal, the PSA level, but it had risen. So he said, let's just be careful. Let's do an ultrasound. Let's do a biopsy. Cancer, normal PSA level. But luckily, he had a doctor that was paying attention. So I tell people, know your numbers. You come in, don't know what your blood pressure should be. Know what your hemoglobin A1C should be. You're not stupid. Know what your cholesterol is. You know, you are smart. This is not rocket science. This is your body. Know when you had your last mammogram. Know how often you should have a colonoscopy. It's not rocket science. It's your body. So if your PSA level goes from 0.1 to 0.9, even though it's normal, that ain't normal.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So I'm sorry.
No worries. Thank you for that. Okay, the question here, and then if we could take the mic to the other side of the room also. Sorry to point. Okay, go ahead, ma'am.
Hello. What's the oldest you know for someone to begin menopause? At what age was the oldest that you?
58, maybe 60. 58 was my patient, 60 was someone that they told me.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name's Gasoline. And my question to you, I mean, we touched on so many things. You talked about the bones. So do you recommend vitamin D
Absolutely.
As a source? Okay. And then what about a woman who probably like always aroused or something, like how would you know when you start to feel dry or when you're too moist? When do you know the patterns or the changes in your vagina that you're starting to experience menopause?
First, let's talk about vitamin D, which I didn't discuss, so I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you for the question. We should be taking vitamin D every day. Vitamin D you can't get in your diet enough. And certainly women who are vegan or vegetarian really don't get it. So you need to be taking 4,000 IU, right? Not 1,000, not 2,000, 4,000 IU every day. That's safe. Vitamin D is one of those hormones that you can build up too much in your system. But if you keep it at like 4,000 a day, you're okay. You also need to have calcium, but not in a pill. So this is new information. Cardiologists and such don't really want you taking calcium in a pill, right, Mickey? Our nurse practitioner over there, who because they think you can get calcifications in your heart and in your blood vessels. So they want you to be taking it in your diet. So almonds is a good snack in your purse, ladies. Kale, get kale instead of lettuce. You know, dairy if you can take it. I can't. But you can do like soy, stuff like that. So vitamin D and calcium are really make a difference in your bones. Huge. If you do nothing else, vitamin D and calcium and resistance training, meaning increasing the weight over time, pushing weight, pulling weight, doing squats, doing lunges. Those things can save you and keep you from falling when you get older. Secondly, your vagina is going to tell you. You're going to not be as comfortable when you're having intercourse. I have women that come in and say, I just sit down and I don't feel right. I just don't feel like I have that cushion anymore. Like I'm noticing my vagina. Like, why am I noticing my vagina? You shouldn't be, right? Like sitting here, you don't notice your vagina. No. It's not there, right? When you start noticing your vagina when you sit down, right? Something's happening. So that's one thing you want to talk about with your doc. Or pain with intercourse, or you just feel like you're not getting moist, you know. Now, having said that, of course, it takes 27 reflexes neurologically for us to get moist and 4 for men. So we do need foreplay, ladies, like 20 minutes.
Right.
So let's not talk about dryness unless you've had 20 minutes of foreplay. Then we can talk about dryness.
So you highly recommend the keep the vagina walls exercising, doing the Kegels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have another machine. It's called Emcella. I use that for women who have urinary incontinence. I have a lot of machines. Oh, God. Anyway, I don't know why about these things. But they're called Emcella. And Emcella does 20,000 contractions of the pelvic floor in 28 minutes.
Wow. Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I also have the same one it does for your abs. It's called Emsculpt Neo. So it's just new technology. It does radio frequency burning, 25% fat. It does 20,000 contractions of your abdominal wall in 28 minutes. So it burns 25% fat and it builds muscle 30%. So, for example, if I have someone that has a leg injury or who has to be more stable on their feet, we're not talking about cosmetics. It's going to improve the core so they can walk, so they can stand up, so they can rehab, you know, body parts that they can't go to the gym and rehab. So anyway, yes, do as many Kegels all your life as you can. European women do it. So they have less pelvic floor dysfunction.
And you'll have better orgasms, too. You'll have multiple last longer.
Yeah, you should do them before. That should be preparation for intercourse,
enduring,
right?
Enduring.
Because you know what you're doing? Enduring. The men, well, for the men, it's during. They feel it, and they like
yeah,
it.
They like
but
it.
All you're doing, what are you doing? You're bringing blood flow to the pelvic floor. How do you have an orgasm? You bring blood supply to the pelvic floor. If you contract it, you're bringing blood supply to your pelvic floor. It's not complicated.
Yeah, no, I just told a patient the other day, you can control having the orgasm during intercourse with your mate. It's not all up to him. You can get yours too.
Yeah.
You know, she said he got his, she didn't get hers. I said, why not? You can control that. More questions?
I have a question.
Oh, I see you.
Oh, sorry. Hi. So I've been having hot flashes since 2018. But my question is, so when I have them, I don't have a cycle. When they stop, my cycle comes back. So what would you tell me?
I would tell you that you're in perimenopause. Mm-hmm. And when your ovary starts producing estrogen, then you don't have hot flushes because lack of estrogen is what causes hot flushes. So then all of a sudden you're not putting out an egg. So the hot flushes are there because you don't have your ovary producing estrogen. So you're sputtering like a car.
Mm.
That's what's happening.
So that's kind of why I'm afraid to take something. Because
you don't have to be afraid. I honestly,
the cycle's good.
I honestly would put you on birth control pills for 6 months to make you make it through the sputtering. Because you're not menopausal, but you're not okay. So this is where I give a low-dose birth control pill in that timing to give you enough estrogen in that time to just make you make it through.
See? There you go. Okay. Thank you.
Pass the mic up the lady two rows ahead of you.
Oh, hello. Oh. I am menopausal. And yay! I know. Thank you. And I guess I am one of those women who believed in the myths or whatever about the estrogen. So I don't take anything. And I guess I just talk myself through it. But should I be taking something?
Well, it depends on her age, right?
Because
as we get older, your risk goes up. So if you're 60s like me, and I'm kind of hedging because I'm 62 and I'm
55.
It, yes. My answer to you is yes. That's an easy answer. Because under 60, I definitely say you should take it if you have any symptoms. Now, do I want to give you any risk if it's not broken? Do I want to fix it? No. But if you have any symptoms, just give me a reason. I'll give you estrogen.
Okay, so my gynae should have recommended that to me is what you're saying.
No, your gynae should have had an informed conversation with you and you should have decided.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. We need informed conversation.
Okay. Did you have an informed conversation?
Probably not, because I was just going to fight through it because I thought that I should have.
Oh.
And question two, because I did tear a meniscus, and this is just me being, because I play a doctor on TV. I started taking
one of the
chondroitin glucosamine, and I just Googled it right now because you said peptide or something?
Collagen peptide.
And I Googled that versus the glucosamine. So should I be taking the collagen peptide, or should this be something I discuss with my ortho?
Those are different, totally different things. The collagen peptides are really protein.
Okay.
So protein is going to help you kind of build up the muscle around the joint, which is always a good idea. So I think you should do that. But I'm going to defer to one of my colleagues here. Oh, did she left? Oh, goodness. We don't have any orthos here. So I have no idea about chondroitin sulfate. I don't know if it's a myth. I don't know if it's good. I think it's probably good, but I can't. I don't have any level one evidence to tell you that.
Okay. Thank you.
Where's the...
I have the... So I have two questions. So the first question is, I had a partial, and so I still have one of my ovaries, but I have a history of DVT, so I can't take any hormone replacement therapy.
Veoza, that medication that I told you about.
Okay. Yes. And so the second question, because I am a woman, a whole woman, so, and we talked about sexual, and I keep it real.
Yeah. Good for you.
So for me, I have what I call auto releases. I don't have to be thinking about sex or anything. It just happens. Is that normal? I mean, I'm glad that
that's
I don't have
blessing.
To hold it for
a minute. Wait, doctor, don't answer that yet. What just happens?
I just have an orgasm.
Okay.
It just...
So you could be sitting in your car at the stoplight.
And the feeling will just come. And I just take my two turkey thighs and squeeze them together. And it just comes. And
I heard someone say, wow, over here.
I think everybody's saying wow.
Right. Spontaneous. That's spontaneous O's.
Is that...
I honestly, the only thing I would check for you is I check your testosterone level.
Okay.
We haven't talked a whole lot about testosterone, but that would be the only thing that I would be.
Testosterone is on fleek.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's good, but you know, you just want to make, honestly, physician-wise, I would want to make sure you don't have a cyst on your ovary that's producing testosterone. Too much testosterone, right? So if it's been happening your whole life, probably not. But no.
Has it been happening your whole life?
It's been happening for yes.
So probably she's 100% fine.
I'm just asking.
The real truth is she might have, you know, you might have something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And polycystic ovarian syndrome is also marked by a higher testosterone level. Unfortunately, that testosterone level also sometimes causes hair growth and it causes your voice to be deepened and it causes weight gain. But one of the side effects that might be very good is spontaneous orgasm. So that would be my suspicion that you might have that, you know, Because all of us are not blessed with that, unfortunately.
Okay, as long as I'm not, you know. So I don't need any toys and all them dildos. I'm good.
That's
I was
a good
actually
thing.
Going to ask you if you have toys,
I've never
but
used
you don't
toys.
Need a toy.
No.
Yeah.
Stop bragging.
Right. Pass the mic, girl. Some of us got to work for certain things. Got to put in that work. We have
good
questions
evening.
On this side of the room, too, if you could bring. Maybe good. Leave one mic on this side and one on this side. Yes, sis.
Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
Thank you. First of all, this is a great conversation. I really appreciate it. When you talk about hormone replacement therapy, how would you tell us how is it administered? Like, what is it? Do we ingest it? Do you rub it? I mean, what is it exactly?
All of that. Okay. So when I speak with women about hormone replacement therapy, the first thing I decide is, are you going to take it? And then when they say, yes, I want it, then I give them a smorgasbord, because it's a smorgasbord, to be honest, of how you are able to get into your body the same hormones. And I definitely use bioidentical hormones, which is some buzzword that I hate, because it was way bioidentical 30 years ago when I started, when it wasn't all these people trying to take your money to get bioidenticals. So I kind of resent that a little, but I use it. Bodydentical is important, because why would you not want to give your body something that's exactly what your body produces if you can? So the ways that we give it are, number one, I try not to give it orally, because orally is increased with clots, right? So that's the only reason. A lot of people are like, oh, I just want to take it by mouth. I'm like, you can take it, but you're increasing your clots a little, okay? So I try and give transdermals. So transdermals are a gel that you put on your arm. I have samples out on my table. There's different brands. There's also a patch that you put on your upper buttocks or your lower abs. So you have to put it somewhere there's some fat so it absorbs into your body. I tried to use that myself, but then I got a little rash. So you can get a rash from the adhesive or whatever. And then there's something called troches. Troches are made, I actually feel bad. I didn't invite my friend who's a pharmacist. There's a black pharmacy called Brady's Pharmacy in Davie. Please support her. She's amazing. And she compounds hormones. Basically I send her the script and I say, I want 1 milligram of estrogen and I want 200 milligrams of progesterone. And this is what I take personally at night. I break it in half. I put one in one jaw, one under my other jaw, and I go to sleep. That's how I take my hormone replacement therapy, because it's absorbed, right? So those are troches, not covered by insurance, but usually it's the same price as if you pay your copay, to be honest. It's like $140 for 3 months. For both meds. So that's two meds. So patch, gel, troche, pills that we talked about, pellets. I'm not a big fan of pellets. And the reason I'm not is that when you talk to your friends that have pellets, they're all happy. Oh my God, I got my pellets. What you don't know is they're giving those women testosterone up the wazoo. It's basically a sex change, right? So they give them the estrogen and they also give them testosterone, and their levels are like testosterone of a man, right? So instead of the testosterone being like 40 to 70, which it should be in a woman, it's like 150 to 200. So they feel phenomenal. They can move a car. I'm just saying, that's why I'm not a big fan of the pellets, because I don't think that that's good for your body. I don't have level one evidence of that. That is not good for your body, but it just makes common sense to me. So I've never been tempted to do a pellet. So that's my problem with the pellet, but you will hear great things about it. And doctors make a lot of money off those pellets. They charge you $300 each time you go. I think that's it. I don't think I'm forgetting any other.
Yeah. And I'll just add that the testosterone pellets, I've had some patients who have high levels of anxiety. They're like, they want to crawl out of their skin. It's really bad anxiety. So be careful with that as well.
The pellets.
Yes, with the pellets. Because once the, yes, Sonia. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I just wanted to say, so I'm 43 and I'm probably perimenopausal, but last year, my anxiety was through the roof. I thought I was going crazy. I literally was probably the first time I was like, now I know what anxiety feels like. Now I know what depression feels like. And it took a long time for me to think and realize that, yes, maybe I do need it. And within a week of my pellet, my anxiety was gone. I was like back to where I was before.
And you had testosterone pellet.
Testosterone,
But you had estrogen too.
No, because I'm not menopausal.
They just gave you testosterone?
Just testosterone.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's kind of paradoxical.
I want to see that. Mm. I think they got some estrogen in there. Sorry.
No, because my estrogen, my everything was normal value, but it was just the testosterone. It was six.
She works where she took the pellet. So
yes.
Interesting. Okay.
At the ketamine clinic. So.
Cool.
They do hormone replacement.
It honestly saved my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Hormone replacement is like a game changer. And I was very
against it. Gave you more energy?
A little more energy, but I'm pretty active anyways, but it was my mental health.
Yeah.
That was
How about your libido?
It's on point.
Yeah.
It's on point now.
The only thing I would say to you, check your testosterone level. Make sure it's not 250.
It's like 220.
Yeah, that's too high.
But I don't have hair. I don't have, like...
But you don't know how it's affecting your heart, right? Men die 6 years earlier than we do. On average. That's why there's so many of us. We outlive them. We do. Right. So just make it testosterone has some negative heart effects.
So lopsided.
So just... Do the, but just tell them to give you less.
Okay.
Just get you to under 100 and then you're good.
Yeah.
So I want to play something really quickly.
Okay. So you mentioned that you've been using the testosterone.
Yeah.
And what has it done for you?
Well, you know, within a few days of using it, of having the testosterone, I just felt like a different person. Mm-hmm. Totally different person. It's almost like I felt like a Superman suit was coming over my entire body in terms of...
Honey, why are you laughing?
And, you know, I'll just play that little piece. That is an MD. That's a man. That's an MD. And he had testosterone and he said it changed his life. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, different strokes for different.
There's
folks.
A lot of men with low T and they definitely need it. And of course, our T is low and I have no problem supplement testosterone, just the amount. Mm-hmm. I just think we have to watch the amount because of the cardiac effects.
Appreciate it. Question. Let's go to this side of the room. Zena, go ahead. You have the mic.
No, but she answered the question.
Oh, okay.
About the
pass
type the of mic. Therapy. So I'm happy
pass
to
pass the mic. Pass the peas like we used to do. Y'all know that song?
Yeah. Thank you guys for this conversation. It was actually much needed for me. So my question is, what would you suggest? So I'm 59. I've been vegan.
Doesn't she look good, y'all?
No.
Not yet.
Yeah. 35, girl.
She jumps rope too. She double dutches also.
Oh, that's
and
why.
She trains and
so
a
and
fitness
I've been
competitor.
Vegan for 22 years.
Wow.
I have not gone through menopause. I don't. So I know that I will eventually, right?
Yeah.
So what should I be looking for? Because I'm always like, is anything happening?
Is it when is it coming?
When is it coming? Yeah.
Your cycles start changing. So that's the first thing. Just even before you have other symptoms, typically your cycles start changing. Do you know how your mom was when she went through menopause?
She was in her 50s.
Okay.
Like
so
early 50s.
Probably it's coming soon, to be honest. Because I was saying, I do know of one 6-year-old and I have one 58-year-old, but I haven't seen, anyone. I haven't had you in my practice. And I've had 35 years of practice. So it's unusual. Mickey, do you see people that are that old?
No.
Yeah.
You don't?
Because
in menopause.
Oh, yeah. And it honestly, the people I see are Africans and Jamaicans.
Yeah.
Who have older cycles.
So does her diet have anything to do with that?
I would say yes. My gut saying yes. I don't know really, but.
And honestly, I eat a lot of tofu, right?
Yeah.
She does.
And I do see a holistic doctor. And when I went, my estrogen was high.
Yeah.
So he suggested that I stop it for a while.
Yeah.
Cheryl, stand up. Come on, Cheryl, stand
on.
Up.
It's all mostly
Please.
Girls in here anyway.
Yeah, she's in great shape.
This is 59, y'all.
59.
You look great. It's vegan. I wish I could be vegan. Yes.
Oh, past, yep. Oh, wait, one before anyone on this side have a question? We're kind of alternating. Yes, Miss Regina.
Okay. I have a question because, like, say, for instance, your mom had a hysterectomy when she was like in her 50s. But you saying that perhaps we'll go through menopause once our parents go through menopause. So say she had her hysterectomy and say she didn't go through menopause because she had that hysterectomy.
You just can't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, then you won't know, Miss Regina.
Okay, so then on another side of that, say, for instance, I had a partial hysterectomy and I have my ovaries still with me. And so I'm experiencing hot flashes off and on. It's like they came, then they went away, then they came back. But what I do experience is like if I eat certain things, it flares up a hot flash.
Hot flashes are definitely stimulated by different things. Typically alcohol, coffee. Some people tell me the oddest things give them hot flushes. But I think you're menopausal. Typically we go through, I tell women when I'm going to do a hysterectomy on them, you will go through menopause 1 year earlier than you otherwise would have. Because when I take the uterus out, I am robbing the ovaries of a little bit of blood supply that it would be coming through the uterus to the ovaries. So that shortens the life of the ovary for about a year on average when we've done studies. So I still would expect you to go through menopause about a year earlier than your mother had gone through menopause. We just weren't paying attention in the past generation because she went through menopause. It's just that they don't track it. You know?
Okay. And then to test your testosterone levels, what do you do when you get your blood work done?
You need to go for blood work. You need FSH, estradiol, testosterone. You need all of those. And that
I've had my blood work checked recently over at Quest. So maybe I need to get in touch with them to find out.
Your doctor probably didn't check those things unless you asked and talked to them.
Oh, okay. So that's something I have to ask them to test for me. Okay. And then what if you're abstained from sexual relationships because you don't have a partner. And I understand that orgasms are necessary for women to keep us, I guess, feeling a certain kind of way.
I think I'm going to toss that question to you.
They are absolutely necessary. Yeah. So if you don't have a partner, you can self. You can perform intimacy on yourself, if you will, masturbate. So there's toys, there's your own digital, I almost said digital exam, your own digital massaging, or if you're spontaneous, like my sis there, spontaneous orgasm. So, and I would say yes, I would agree to that. I think orgasms and sexual health are very important for all of us. And so we should be allowing ourselves to engage that. And if you don't have a partner, I know some highly religious people will say that masturbation is a sin. However, I've looked in the Bible for that. I don't see it in the Bible.
I will tell you that little children we know
I've
masturbate.
I've never found it.
So
I have that
a
in the Bible.
Hard time. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not found it. So, but if someone knows where it is in the Bible, I would appreciate the verse. Yes, check it for me, baby, because I've checked it.
It started. It wasn't specific as far as. But it's a.
Give her a mic, please.
Oh, she got it.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Give a mic for me.
It wasn't specific as far as the word masturbation, but it started from the whole concept of spilling your seed, that you're not supposed to spill your seed, and that, I forgot his name, he was supposed to impregnate his daughter-in-law upon the death of her husband, and he didn't choose to because if he impregnated her, that child would not have been his seed, but his brother's seed from the family.
Well, see, that just sounds messed up to me. So whoever wrote that,
well, we don't have any seed to spill.
We don't have any seeds. Uh-oh, we got the Bible in the back corner.
No, okay. Definitely not the Bible.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I have a question. I'm so grateful to this conversation. I'll be 46 this year, and I'm definitely menopausal. And I tried the hormone.
How old did you say?
46? I'll be 46.
Okay.
46. In August. Yeah. And I've been menopausal for perimenopausal and now menopausal for a while. But I tried the hormones last year, and I actually had an awful experience, but I realized that I was over-medicated. But that experience horrified me so much, I didn't even want to go back. And I actually had, that was my comment, but I have a question. Did you notice that any woman from the progesterone, that it may have affected their mood, even women that you see treat
absolutely
birth control, in a negative way.
Absolutely. So progesterone puts you sometimes in a luteal phase. Okay. So what's luteal? Dark, depressed, right? So luteal, it makes you luteal. So you have to really counterbalance, and you may need to use a different progestin. There's different progestin. So that's why we talked about bioidentical. So you want to make sure you had a micronized progesterone, not a Provera, you know, not hydroxyprogesterone acetate, right? That's depressing. Like when we give women the depot shots for birth control, I hate those shots. I don't really give them unless women come in begging for them, because that's 3 months of luteal. And that's moon, dark. So you need to, you know, you could have a different experience probably if you did every 2 months progesterone. So I'd give you estrogen every day, and then 15 days for 2 months, every 2 months, I'd see if you could tolerate a small dose of progesterone. So we didn't address this. The reason we give progesterone when you are on estrogen is estrogen alone, for example, over the course of years, will cause a 2% risk of hyperplasia inside the uterine canal. That hyperplasia can go on to be precancer. It can go on to be cancer. So, of course, the first thing we want to do is do no harm. We don't want to cause you harm if we're giving you estrogen replacement. So we have to give you at least some progesterone. You should never, ever be on estrogen alone, unopposed, unless you do not have a uterus. So clearly she has a uterus because they gave her progesterone. So we'd have to just play with it. But it doesn't mean you can't have hormone replacement. I really have never had anybody who had such a severe reaction that I couldn't find something that worked for them.
Rory, do you have the mic back there yet? Rory, can you take the mic to, she's waiting, guys. I'm sorry for so long for the mic.
Thank you so much. I actually, part of the question that I had, I think you began to answer, but I wanted to get a few more specifics as far as my next primary checkup. I'm going to ask for specific blood work to be done, not just the you know, the basic, in terms of, should I ask for blood work to check my estrogen and to test testosterone levels, or?
It depends on your, and number one, I wouldn't go to my primary asking for those things. I'd go to my gynecologist.
Okay.
Number two, if you're menopausal and, you know, you haven't had periods for a year, you don't need your estrogen checked. And you can have your testosterone checked, but we also know both of those are low. So you should go to talk to somebody about your symptoms. I'm a big proponent of not numbers, but how you're feeling. So when I'm treating someone for estrogen with estrogen replacement therapy, I'm not really checking their numbers so much, because if your numbers are low and you feel great, I'm not upping your dose, right? So numbers are great, but you really got to treat the whole person. So you really need to have a conversation about, am I sleeping? Am I having hot flushes? Am I having satisfying sex? You know, how's my mood? You know, am I putting on weight? You know, all those things. So it's not just about getting a blood test, right?
Mm, okay. And I mean, I guess I can consider myself grateful, because obviously my period stopped. I'm 65. My period stopped, and I never had any hot flashes. I never had any weird symptoms.
Yeah, you're blessed.
I'm grateful.
And your hair is gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking such good care of my baby sister, Edie. You delivered my niece 31 years ago. So, yeah. Thank you so much.
My honor. Thank you.
Yes, Kim.
Dr. Mumford's had a hand in.
Oh, I apologize. Do you have the mic over there, Dr. Mumford?
No, you think you're loud.
Stop. This is just very simple.
Uh-huh.
You did say something about the lack of estrogen leading to cerebral atrophy. I don't want to take any estrogen, but I don't want my brain to shrink anymore. Is there something else I can take?
I like that question.
Dr. Britton, can you help me out?
On the spot, well, Doc.
Well, have you tried supplements like B-complex, vitamin B12? Have you checked your... Oh. Oh.
Thank you.
Not necessarily. Are you forgetful? How's your short-term memory? Yeah, well, you're probably good.
Dr.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear.
It's going to shrink no matter what. Yeah. Just how much. It will.
Eventually.
Just to remind you guys, Dr. Mumford is a MD. She's a urologist. So she don't want her brain shrinking.
She's a person first for sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you're just being provocative. Course.
I had some problems.
So what can she take?
When we can do brain tasks, things to help with your thinking. I've heard crossword puzzles. Maybe try, are you right-handed or left-handed? Try doing things with your left hand. Try to challenge yourself, learn something new. You know, get the connections working.
You're exercising your brain.
Your brain's going to shrink anyway.
You're exercising your brain.
Shrink.
You need blueberries, blueberries, walnuts.
Yes.
But
yeah.
So do
it's going
higher,
to shrink.
So do it's going to shrink. But do higher dose. Do change your diet. Edamame, soy milk, phytoestrogens. Yeah. That's what I would do. Yeah. Yeah. That's my best suggestion.
Mediterranean diet.
But our brains are all shrinking. I don't know how many people are, before the curve in here. Not that many. We look good, but we're getting old.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. In the back,
hello,
in the red and white.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Green.
Hello, my love.
Is that one of your patients, Dr. Green?
She had me when my daughter was, I was expecting my daughter, but she wasn't on call. It was a holiday. And so someone else delivered her, but she was my doctor when probably, I don't know. But thank you, Dr. Green. Thank you so much, doctor, for putting this together. It's very informative. My question was around, you talked about hormones. So if you're on Mirena, and that releases the hormones, is that something that helps with your menopause symptoms? Is it something that you recommend continuing or, you know, just taking it out once you pass menopause?
Mirena is great. So, for example, this young lady over here was telling me she's having these flushes and she's having these irregular periods. That would be another option for her, would be Mirena. All right. Because, Mirena,
talking to you, Lorraine.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. It's another option that we would also discuss if she didn't want to take birth control pills, because Mirena is going to control your cycles, right? It decreases, if you have what happens around the perimenopause and at menopause is you get gushes of blood. People just like, I'm standing there and it just started bleeding, right? Like, and they hadn't had a period in 3 months and all of a sudden they're in the middle of a kid's show and they have a heavy period. So that can happen, go on and off for a year or two where you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen. So Mirena is one of those things that help mediate that perimenopause. So once you document menopause, I would pull it. It's a little harder to document menopause Mirena because 60% of women don't bleed. So I typically just pull Mirena's at 52. I'm just like, you should be done. So I'm going to pull it at 52 typically. But you don't have to have it out until then. It's not doing anything bad. It's helping you through so you don't have a rocky period. Yes, ma'am. That's why you have to have the hormone studies to see. So you may not be, but most people are. We got some unusual outliers over here. Oh, you are. So yeah. See, it's black women. We have longer fertility. We really do.
Yeah, baby. We keep having them babies.
So then for you again, you and I would have to talk because I don't like giving pills after 52. I didn't know you were that old. I don't like giving pills after 52. Mm. So you're a challenge.
Kemps.
Good evening. I want to say again, thank you for pulling this together and my two favorite doctors in the house. Yes. Okay, so let's get to the real deal. Can we afford any of this? What is covered by our insurance? What isn't covered by our insurance? What kind of payment plans? Okay. You know, that's what we really need to know.
Okay, just real quickly, and then we'll take the doctor's question. Hormone replacement therapy is 100% covered as long as you don't go to this girl and get the pellets. They're expensive. I'm only kidding. Yes, it's covered. And everything I talked about as far as hormones are covered. The only thing that's not covered is trochees. And that's why I use that pharmacy Brady's, because she makes it the same price as your copays. If you have any copays, which I do, it's probably cheaper for me to get it from her. My copays are so expensive.
But the machines are expensive. So, for example, the Mona Lisa is $1,500 for three treatments. The machine cost me $250,000, guys. That's my Rolls Royce. So,
Sorry, how much did you pay?
That machine was $250,000.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a condo.
Yeah. So anyway, so these machines are expensive. The Cleavana is $100,000. And, you know, that one's less expensive, but it's still, you know, most of these things are going to cost you $1,000, let's say, for the full treatments. So they are expensive and they're not covered by insurance because your insurance company cares not about your orgasm.
Yeah, they don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to be happy.
They care not if you're having good sex. But everything else we discuss other than the machines is covered. Yeah.
What about the alternative medication you mentioned that starts with a D? What is it called?
Vioza?
Yes. Vioza is covered. Or a B?
It's a V. V-E-O-Z-A-H. And so I have handouts about it outside. 100% covered.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, what happens with these new medications is sometimes they're not covered by your CVS or Walmart. They're not in there, whatever. But there's always these specialty pharmacies that pop up for new medications because the drug companies want them to get their meds out there. So we can always send them to these alternative medications to get better coverage.
Yeah, go ahead. Dr. Blake.
Where's the mic?
Oh yeah, Mike.
Can you give her a mic? Thank you.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Wait, there should be, I thought there was another mic.
It has been very informative. Uh-huh. The conversation is very transparent and very candid and certainly very comfortable. I have my question is regarding the follow-up regarding the Mirena device, the progesterone implanted IUD. So what if you're having vasomotor symptoms, such as had flashes on that device, no periods, obviously, because it stops your period, but you're having, so what would be your recommendation for that person that's having those symptoms and they feel like they're not menopausal or perimenopausal? So
what would be the recommendation? It would depend on the age, but first thing I'd want to do is get a estradiol level.
Okay.
Because the progesterone is not changing estradiol level.
Right.
So if you had a low estradiol level, I'd add estrogen. I'd give you some estrace. I'd give you a natural progesterone to add to that because we wouldn't, if you still needed the protection for, you know, preventing pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have to figure out. Do you need the protection for preventing pregnancy or is that done? So okay, that's the answer we'd have to answer. Same answer I said to you.
No,
I want your,
I don't need
your
the
level.
Protection, but
yeah.
But, so the second part of that question is related to vaginal dryness. And I get a lot of questions regarding that. And honestly, I don't sometimes know the answer. I always recommend lubricants and also consult your OBGYN because I'm not an OBGYN. So my friends use me as one, but I'm not one. And so I always add that disclaimer. We all have friends that ask us questions that sometimes out of our scope. Most do not want hormonal therapy. What is the best non-medication, whether it's a lubricant, an injectable, or a patch, what would you recommend for vaginal dryness? Is it something that you'd recommend that they use continuously or something that will be used at the time of intercourse or apply intravaginally? What is your recommendation?
First, I'd have you make sure they listen to this podcast on YouTube. Because we have to dispel the myths, because that's why they don't want these things. Mm-hmm. If they want something that's non-hormonal, then I have some favorite things that I use. Number one, I use Astroglide for sex because that's what I use when I deliver babies. And it's amazing. It doesn't, it's water-based, so it doesn't dry. So Astroglide is the key to use for sex, and it's not, doesn't have, don't use scented stuff. Don't get stuff from crazy places. Keep it simple because the vagina is sensitive. Okay. So all this chamomile and people are putting all these herbs and stuff in their vagina. I'm like, the vagina doesn't need all that. You're going to irritate it.
You mean that pot you go stand over?
Yeah. Someone had me, they wanted me to rep for that. I'm like, I can't rep for this. I just don't think it's doing anything. The vagina cleans itself. We all know that. There's nothing nasty about the vagina.
No.
You just have to watch what you put in there. Right. Yeah. The vagina is self-cleaning like an oven. But so the Astroglide I ever use for sex. There's some other thing that I love, but it's expensive. I apologize. It's called Reverie. Reverie is hyaluronic acid. I use hyaluronic acid on my skin at my spa every day, right? Hyaluronic acid holds 30% of its time in its weight in water. So you can put Reverie in twice a week. You can get it online. It's non, I think I have something out there for it. It's not a prescription. And you put it in twice a week, just like you put on your face every day. And it just coats the vagina and keeps moisture in there. So those are two things that don't have hormones that you can put in the vagina. However, I'm going to strongly recommend, even if you don't want to take hormone replacement therapy, that you use estrogen in your vagina as long as you don't have history of a DVT or history of clots and strokes, because a tiny amount that you put in the vagina is gobbled up by the cells, by the bladder, by all of that, that you see tiny bits in your systemic system. And it's going just right here. And it's helping right there in many ways. It's helping you to be orgasmic. It's helping you to keep from being dry. It's helping you, your bladder function, prevent infection, you know, everything. Keep the labia from looking like little lines because they shrink. you look atrophic and white. I mean, the vagina gets white, you know? It gets light because it's pink, even in us, right? So it gets light and flat and dry. So I would strongly have them see their OBGYN and talk about, am I a candidate for just intravaginal estrogen? And that intravaginal estrogen doesn't have to be messy. It can be in the form of tablets. There's something called Invexi, Vagifem. You just stick that tablet in before you go to sleep twice a week. Boom, you're good. Or cream, if you prefer cream. There's a tube that's bioidentical that my friend Celia at Brady's Pharmacy produces. You put that in. You don't have to put in 2 grams if it's too messy. You put in one twice a week. You know, you're your own chemist. You know what works for you. I tell people, you put in 2 for 6 weeks. After that, you can put in 1 twice a week, put in 1 once a week, whatever works. Only you know. So those are the choices.
Thank you. She gave you a long list of stuff.
Yes, thank you.
Ooh, that's good, Dr. Green.
And then,
good.
Oh, I didn't rep something. But if you want to come give me money, you can come and do the Mona Lisa. Which, honestly, I did one last week myself, and I didn't do it for vaginal dryness because I take a lot of estrogen. I'm not dry. I did one for myself because I have urinary leakage. When I cough, laugh, or sneeze, I had one baby, 7-Eleven, who, go figure, but my bladder is not happy. So I have to do stuff. So I do my Micella. You know, I buy everything because I needed it, right? So the Micella does the 20,000 contractions of my pelvic floor. And the Mona Lisa, Dr. McKenzie just did it on the inside. I didn't do it on the outside because it thickens the wall to support my bladder. So it's $1,000. Sorry, guys. I paid a lot of money for this machine. But it fixes the dryness. So women who are, I honestly bought that machine for women who have breast cancer because they can't do any of this. And they can't have sex. They'll come to me, I can't have sex. I had 2 decades of women coming to me. I cannot have sex with my husband. So I bought the machine.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for buying that machine and investing. Because I swear, some of us walk around so angry and upset and nasty because we're not getting laid. Y'all aren't getting laid out here. So you're upset. You're angry. Okay.
I'm being pressed to ask this question because it's a question
go ahead. And
not
where's
just
the other
I
mic
have.
Too? Okay, you got it. Go ahead.
I'm asking
ahead,
the question Nikki. For many, but it's two part. I'll ask my own question first.
Yes.
I'm 45. I'm not perimenopausal and I'm not menopausal. However, in recent times, I noticed a correlation between my attitude, where I am like, what the hell is wrong with me? And my period. And I had my hormones checked. I had a friend of mine who's in the profession to check my hormones. My hormone levels are normal. What's going on and what can I do? Like, it's bad.
Before you menstruate?
The week around, up to it? Yeah, the right before my period, like
that's your, PMS,
that's your question.
But that never used to happen. It's only in the past year or so.
It doesn't mean that it can never happen. We change as we grow older. So to me, that sounds like PMS or PMDD.
What can I do? Because it's bad.
Yeah, you can. So if it's really bad for PMDD, sometimes we start patients on fluoxetine, which is Prozac, or an SSRI, an antidepressant, and you would take it for just a week leading up to your menstruation. So that's one of the major things we do if you want to take a medication for that. PMS is not, I don't typically medicate for PMS. I medicate for PMDD, but PMS is more so self-care, exercising, taking care of yourself, positive thinking, getting outside, getting fresh air. I would start there.
Okay. I agree. That's her question. That's definitely PMDD.
Okay. The other question is, I don't remember exactly what it was. How do we, what's the question? Ask your question.
It was similar to that one though, because I was experiencing the same thing, but now I pay attention. So when you were saying start the document, that's what I started to do because good. I'm like, there are times when my period didn't come because I think I'm getting there. So I'll miss it for a month. But at that time when it was supposed to come, I had those same, I don't know, that may be crazier than Nicole's, but it was a lot. And so I'm feeling that more and more. But the struggle I'm having is, how do you decide if it's regular life or you're going through this process? Because everything just feels like a lot.
You keep that journal, that emotions journal. Go ahead, Doc.
And you do the treatments, right? So the cause is not always the, etiology is not always the question. How do you feel better? Right? So the things that are going to make you feel better are you're going to go for a 20, 30 minute walk and you're going to get 6 hours of relief for the studies, right? So you go in the morning before you go to work, you get home, you throw your stuff down, you go for another 20 minute, just walk. I'm not talking about pushing iron, pumping, nothing. But the endorphins that are released from that exercise period will help with the PMS, help with the PMDD. You don't know if it was your husband pissed you off or you got PMDD. It doesn't matter. It's going to help you. So that's the key, right?
Actually, that's a good point because I was walking for a while and I was doing very well, lost weight in the process, and mentally I felt better. Now I'm just like, I don't feel like it. So
your brain needs it.
And then I'm feeling this.
Yeah. The other thing I'm going to tell you guys that I've realized just personally is that exercise is going to release something called IL-6. IL-6 is something that's going to decrease inflammation and help you feel better. I'm just all on the inflammation kick. So that is really gonna help you. I try and be like my friend here who gets up at 5:30 every morning and exercises. She looks like it, right?
Yeah, she does.
Her mood is good. Her body feels good because even if, like, I have chronic back pain, if I work out, my back pain's not there. I'm not talking about pumping iron. Just go to the park and walk for 30 minutes. So these exercises is an anti-inflammatory. It's like taking 3 ibuprofen, right? And you don't have to take drugs. You don't have to get the GI effects. Right. So just do it. Just say, OK, 20, 30 minutes. I'm going to figure it out. Go with a friend instead of dating, going for a date for, food or for go for a walk. Say, let's go for a walk
and ask him questions and stuff and get to know him. Yeah. How many Islanders are in here? Raise your hands.
Okay. I am my family.
And so I asked the question because I think in the islands it's more of a acceptable practice to live from the earth and to be about prevention and to eat healthy and to you walk everywhere in some of these islands. And in America, it's so westernized. Everything is about a pill. Mm-hmm. We want to make big pharma rich. Right. Doctors were used to being so rich and just overwhelmingly wealthy with money because of how we were charging to take care of patients. But, we have to get past that. Yes, we want to make a good living, but we also want to teach our community how to live healthy. And popping a pill is not the answer. The answer is taking care of yourself. The answer is prevention. The answer is exercise. The answer is fresh air, getting outside. Do you know how many people won't go to? We live in one of the top places in the world. Wow. South Florida is in the top 10 exactly. beaches in the world.
But our beach
is it's right outside our door.
It's not the same.
People won't go to the ocean.
I don't blame them.
People won't go to the beach.
Why? Why?
Our water is disgusting nowadays. It's
No. All you have to do is you can go online and check the quality of the water, to be honest. I go online before I go to the beach. You can go to quality of the water check. And you can see the quality of the water.
And it's not just changing here. Right. But, the beach is more about being in the ocean. The beach is about the sunshine. Do you know how you feel when the sun hits you?
That's that vitamin D.
When the sun hits you, like, it's just an exhilarating sensation for me. I love being in the sun. I love being in the fresh air. I love just driving the roads or just, walking the beach, the boardwalk.
Yeah.
So take care of yourselves. Engage in exercise on a regular basis. Do things. Get out, get fresh air. And when you do it, don't do it for the benefit of how to make you look. Do it for how to make you feel. And everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you kind of took where I was going with it because I wanted to know what is the feedback that you ladies would give on women who like go through this emotional depression where it's like, I recently told a friend, I said, you lost yourself. Like you need to get up and you need to exercise. You letting yourself go. Yeah, your body still look good. But at the same time, mentally, physically, emotionally, you jacked up and not having sex. You married, but you know, hysterectomy.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give women that are going through this on a daily basis? Besides getting a wig or looking good by me, what else?
Yeah, because it ain't worth it if you look good on the outside and you feel like shit on the inside.
Correct.
Excuse my French. I would encourage her to see someone to talk and process. So she's obviously going through some things.
Right.
But asking her to see someone, a professional who can help her get over that hump. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier, a lot of patients come in and they say, quote, depression. You know, it's melancholy, but sometimes it really does meet the definition or the criteria for a major depressive disorder. So, and to be married and not share your body with your significant other, that's a problem. And I want to share that with all of you. If you're married or if you're in a relationship or you share a bed with someone, a part of your union with that person, the reason why you fell in love with this person, the reason why this person makes you happy and you make them happy, is because you should be taking care of one another intimately, physically. And it doesn't have to be intercourse all the time. It can be hugging. It can be laying in the bed. Absolutely. Spooning. It can be lying naked. It can be kissing. It can be hugging. But do you know there are so many couples who won't kiss and hug? They don't even kiss and hug a night.
Right.
And so you're depriving yourself of such natural endorphins. The brain makes these chemicals. It goes into overtime. When you hug, when you kiss, when you just rub one another, when you rub the next person's skin. So, you know, I say to women and I say to the men too, how dare you? You gotta, if there's an issue in the relationship, work it out. But you said they're married and they're not intimate, they're not engaging in sexual activity or they're not being intimate together. That's a sad scenario. That is a sad scenario.
And the issue is diabetes from childhood.
Oh.
So it's hard. And I'm like,
well, send him to see Dr. Mumford because she's going to get him hard again.
Okay.
Excuse, just to be frank.
All right.
This is an open, frank conversation right here. I don't have to sugarcoat anything.
Absolutely.
Because so that's why we're doing this next month.
I love it.
Because they need to understand, the men have to understand there's things they can do besides Viagra.
They have the Cleavana for men. I don't know what it's called, but it's the same shockwave treatment.
Shit, I would be so unhappy in life if I couldn't be intimate.
Yeah.
Listen, that's right. A big part of being a human being. God gave us, you know, I wanted to say two words, but I know I have some older folks in the room, so I'm going to be respectful. But God gave us can I speak openly?
Yes. We're here.
God gave us dicks and pussies for conception. It was for conception, but I also believe that God also knows. He knew. He's so great in how he created our bodies. Sex wouldn't feel good to us if it wasn't meant for us to really get something mental and psychological out of it. And I truly believe that. Now, I'm not endorsing fornication or anything like that. But if you're in a union, you're in a marriage, you should seek to do all things together.
One more comment I want to make that I have all the time with women who have husbands that have prostate issues, of course, mm-hmm. is intimacy is not just...
Right.
Is not a penetration.
Right.
So I will tell people, guess what? And this is something I tell not only men who cannot have an erection, but couples that are having problems with their intimacy. So I tell them, I want you to make love without having penetration. So you need to tell her, you need to tell your partner, I want to make love without penetration. Men have a hard time with that. So he may have to go talk with someone about that, but can you truly be intimate without having penetration. That's a challenge that the couple has to meet. And I have many couples who are really good at that challenge. Older women tell me, oh yeah, he can't do anymore, but oh, we have the best relationship. We're so intimate, right? I had a woman say that to me today, huh?
No. Yeah.
We would hunch.
Yeah.
With our clothes on and have the best orgasm ever.
Yeah.
Hunching.
Yeah.
And listen, and think outside the box too. Yeah. You can go on vacation to Brazil. I know a sex therapist there that helps people, helps them to get that old thing back. You know, think outside of the box. Everything's not about what you see in America. All right, it's 9:03 and it's past my bedtime. You guys have some really, really great questions. I think, yeah. So it sounds like you're satisfied and we don't need any more questions.
Thank you guys for your support.
I love Dr. Green and what she does.
I love Delvina.
Thank you so much for coming to do this. I just truly appreciate you.
It's my honor.
Do you know a lot of physicians won't come and talk to patients? You guys aren't our patients, but they won't sit and talk to people. You know, they won't come and just talk and have a conversation. They won't do it. So this says a lot that she took time out of her busy schedule to come here and answer all of our questions.
It's my pleasure. Thank you guys. It's so nice to see you. It makes my heart warm.
Because you probably don't get an hour and a half or 2 hours with your doctor when you go in for your appointments. Right? All right. Thank you for listen. Subscribe to the podcast. Please help me grow my following.
Yay.
Everybody say brain love.
Brain love.
Oh, we're going to say it one more time. Kennedy's coming up, so we're going to do that. I love you guys were strong with that brain love.
It was.
Let's do one more time. We're going to say brain love.
Brain.
Not yet. Wait, not yet.
Sorry. Come on, Kennedy.
We're going to get ready. Ready? I'm Swy Thry. Brain love! Woo! Thank you for coming out. Thank you so much.